Thank you, worship team. What a great truth it is that because Jesus lives, then we can face the future and can help us with all the worries or concerns of life. Today, again, we're in our Stress Busters series that we started a couple weeks ago, and talking today about how to win over worry. I started that series because I was under a lot of stress and needed it. I usually do that. I try to preach about things I need. And we've been trying to get our basement ready for Nathan and Caitlin to move in temporarily in this transition before going to the Air Force. I'm not so good at remodeling. I've done a lot of it. I just have a lot of problems along the way. I've had my son here to help me too, so he's good at troubleshooting for me. But ends up being a lot of stress at times or things that I worry about. Like last week, I said, you know, we shouldn't worry about the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. I've had a lot of small stuff to cause me to worry. Maybe you're like me, maybe you get worried over the little stuff. So I thought I'd tell you just a few of the stresses so you can feel sorry for me today, you know, about stresses that I have to go through. So I'm working in the basement, you know, to try to get that finished. And we're wanting to get the bathroom up and going, trying to get the electrical up. So we had already put all the electrical in before we drywalled and closed everything off, you know, and you have everything in place, you think. So I hired an electrician to come and help hook up final things, get it going. And he said he'd have it done by the end of the day when I got back from my other job, so I was excited about that. Came back and found out that the bathroom in the basement was dark in the hallway. And I said, somebody messed up. He didn't get that hooked up right. So I called him. I said, something's not right because I have no lights in the bathroom and the hallway. He said, well, that's because you have no power line going to it. I mean, what do you mean I have no power line going to it? So, well, you might have thought that the one out in that you ran from the plug out there in the hallway back into the bathroom would be your power line, but that was actually the end of the line, and it was, you know, a three-way switch, and there's no power there, so you can't run it that way, and you have no power. So we're going to have to cut your drywall in the bathroom above the switch, go up over your door, down, and go into another place. Well, you know, that caused me a little stress, a little worry, because I paid a lot of money to get that drywall finished, because I'm not good at finishing drywall. So now you've cut a hole in it, and, you know, you're going to see that, and I got to finish it up, you know, so I was kind of stressing out over that, worrying about that. Well, it turned out when he came back the next week, I said, can't we do something different? And he's looking around. He said, well, can you get under your stairs out there? And I said, yeah, you can go through the furnace room, get under there. So he went and looked under the stairs, and he could see the other switch from that wall, the plug-in that we had in that wall, and he said, I can run it to there. So he was able to run a line down from that and up to our box in the garage. Didn't have to cut any drywall. So I was all worried about that. God answered that prayer. Well, working on getting carpet just last week, we got carpet. And we had, you know, there's like 6 weeks out. At Home Depot, we got free installation 6 weeks out unless you bought their special carpet, which we bought. It was cheap carpet. So we had it scheduled because they're moving in. We needed the carpet down before they can move in. So the guy calls me 6:30 in the morning from the warehouse because he's going to be here by 7. He says, I don't know. They didn't give me enough carpet. They figured it wrong. You're like 20 yards short. I don't know what to do. They won't be in until 8. I don't know whether they get it installed today and, you know, whatever. And I said, it needs to be installed. You know, so I'm stressed out or worrying about that. He said, the problem is they might not be able to get the same cut and then it might not match. We have a division in there, so part of our game room area. I said, just do the other part and leave the game room open. If we have to put a different carpet in, that'll be all right. Well, I came back from work. They did get carpet for somebody else. They were able to get it shipped in. They got it all done. It looked nice. I didn't have to worry about it, but I was worried about it anyway. So, and then another thing, we'd put vinyl tile in our kitchen, which we were really proud of. It looks nice. It's groutable vinyl tile. So I'm hooking up the sink, plumbing. Do you ever use stuff to hook up plumbing? Have anybody ever done that? You have like this cleaner stuff, and you have a glue. And the cleaner stuff I had was purple. And the stuff leaks. So I thought I had the top on. I got done doing that. I got up and it leaked off the top and it dripped on my counter into the sink and onto the floor. Purple stuff that stains. You know, so we wiped it up all as quick as we could. Couldn't get that purple stuff off these new tiles I just put on the floor. So they were looking on the internet, using every cleaner. I spent an hour and a half scrubbing that, trying to get that purple stuff off. Finally got it so just yellow spots. It really makes me upset because we just had done that new. So worrying about that, stressing out about it. Yesterday I went out and I dug through my trash. I have my whole trailer full and I found one piece that was big enough and I replaced it. So now it looks a lot better. I didn't have to worry about it as much. You see, all those little stresses keep building up, and they want to cause me problems in life. And those are little stresses, aren't they? Did any of you ever get stressed out by little things? But, you know, you have a vision, you have a plan, and it just doesn't work. Then some of you have bigger things than that you're stressed out about. Cars breaking down, and big expenses, and medical things, and illnesses. It's easy to get stressed out, and those has a negative influence on our life. I put on your outline for you the destructive results of worry and what that will do. According to medical research, 75 to 90% of all illnesses are caused by the stresses of modern life, or that is our response to those modern day tensions. We all get them. So I put on there also how the body reacts to stress. Dr. Selvey has put these three stages, and maybe you can see how that happens in your life sometimes when things don't go right. The first is the alarm stage. That's when the body recognizes the stressor or stressee, and it prepares to fight or flight. So, you know, you get on edge. I'm ready to fight or I'm going to flight. And there's a release of the hormones from your endocrine glands. It causes increase in your heart rate, respiration, elevation of blood sugars, increased perspiration, your pupils dilate, and it slows down your digestion because you're on alarm stage. The next stage is the resistance stage, and that's when the body repairs any damage that's caused by that stress. But if that stressor or that anxiety doesn't go away and you stay in that, then the body can't repair itself. And so it moves to the third stage, which is exhaustion. Anybody ever been there where you're just exhausted? That's where diseases and illnesses develop from being in the alarm stage too long. Dr. Mayo from the Mayo Clinic said, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system. He said, I've never known a man who died from overwork, but many who have died from worry. General Patton said, worry does not help anything, but it hurts everything. And so Jesus was right, when he says, don't worry. You shouldn't be worried about these things. You shouldn't be anxious about these things because it's not going to be good for you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to have a negative influence on your life. I wanted to share with you Jesus' way for dealing with worry or winning over worry, but also the world's way, because the world has a different pattern for how they deal with worry, and it's really opposite of what Jesus would say. So I want to take you to a little passage in Luke chapter 12 where Jesus tells a story about a rich man who was really trying to deal with worry, and it kind of shows the way that the world would deal with worry. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything that you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. So, three ways that the world deals with things and stresses, first of all, is to stockpile earthly wealth. The idea is if I can get more, then I'm going to be able to not have to fear the future. I'll have plenty to live on. I won't have to worry about going in debt. I won't have to worry about my retirement. But then you begin worrying about saving it and not losing it in the stock market, and you deal with all the insurance of the things that you have. But they begin to stockpile. That's what this guy did to try to deal with maybe his worries in life. The second is to party hard and live for the moment. I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. You know, people are like that, don't you? Every weekend. I'm stressed out at work, a hard week, I'm just going to party. I'm just going to have, you know, drinking and whatever, party down, party hard, just to forget all my needs, and, you know, it doesn't work. You usually end up with more stresses and more problems because of that. A Roman proverb said, money is like seawater. The more that a man drinks, the thirstier he becomes. So the more you pursue the things of the world to try to satisfy or take away those tensions or stress, it actually makes you more thirsty, more tension, more problems that develop in your life. So the world says, well, just stockpile wealth and get money, party and live for the moment. And thirdly, think of yourself first. You know, don't think about others. Don't think about God. Just think about yourself. Don't have any regard for God. And Jesus says that's kind of silly, isn't it? Because when you come to the end of your life, you're going to have nothing to show for it. You're not going to have any friends. You're not going to have any relationships. And you have no relationship with God. You're not going anywhere with Him in eternity. Not a good place to be. But that's what the world would say. Just do those things and, you know, go for every weekend. Just party out. Don't worry about other people. Just think about yourself. Do what you need to do. And that doesn't really work. So now I want to look at Jesus' way for winning over worry. In Matthew chapter 6, it's a familiar passage to us about how to deal with worry. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would teach us through your word today how that we can deal with worries and stresses that we all face on a regular basis, because it's not good for us to be in that alarm stage. It's not good for us to worry. We need to learn to turn it over to you. So I ask that you would teach us how to do that through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus lays out two key principles for us here, how to win over worry, that I wanted to share with you. The first is this: have faith in God's providence. And providence means God's power. He's in control. He cares for you. He's going to provide for you. That's what providence is. And Jesus tells us here not to worry. So it's really a command. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to say, if my life's going to be right, I'm going to be a follower of Him like we sang that song today, then I should not be worrying. I remember I'm preaching to me as much as anybody else, because you already know I stress out on things like that. Says, don't worry. And I put a definition of what it means here, because when I looked up in the original language what it means, it kind of clarified some things in my mind. The word in the original means distracted. Jesus says, don't be distracted by the things of this world, because you're worrying about them. You're going to miss out on the more important things in life. Don't let the anxiety about food and clothing distract you from more important things. You remember that about Martha in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus and all his hungry disciples showed up for meals. How many of you would like to have 12 men come in for a meal? And Martha was pretty upset about it, wasn't she? Where am I going to get that much food? How am I going to cook it? How am I going to feed these guys? Mary, her sister, is doing what? Sitting down, relaxing, chilling out, talking to Jesus, having a good time. And Martha gets pretty upset. She says, tell Mary to get in here and help me in the kitchen. And Jesus talks to Martha, and what's he say? He says, Martha, you're so worried and distracted by so many things that you're not doing what's really important. You're not spending time with us. You're not spending time with me. And that's what happens with us, isn't it? You know, when I'm distracted about my flooring, or I'm distracted about carpeting, when I'm distracted about my electrical, I'm spending all that time working and I'm not spending time with my wife or my kids, and I'm not maybe doing ministry as much as I should, other concerns on people because I'm distracted. And Jesus says, that's what worry is doing for me. It's distracting you from what's the most important thing in your life. So what right now in your life is distracting you? You're so focused on those things. And you're not enjoying life. And you're not enjoying people. You're not enjoying relationships. You're not having fun anymore. You're just stressed out and worried. So he says, don't worry. That's his command to us. Quit worrying. Next point here is Jesus makes four arguments why we shouldn't worry. And he really poses questions, so I'm just going to give you the questions that he gave that kind of says, why are you worrying? What do you have to worry about? Number one is, he says, is not life and body more important than food and clothing? This is an argument from the greater to the lesser. So life and body You know, the fact that you're alive, that you have a body, is certainly more important than the food or clothing that you have, right? So if God is the creator, and he's powerful enough to create life and give you a body, don't you think that he's powerful enough to provide food and clothing for you? That's Jesus' argument. So if he can take care of these bigger things in life, can he take care of those little things that you have in life? You know, God's given you breath, he's given you life, he's given you relationships, he's given you a home, he's given you a job, he's given you all these things. Can he take care of those little things, like your finances or your car breaking down or your electrical that doesn't work? Can he take care of those things? What are you worried about? Jesus says, think about it. If he can do the big things, he can do the little things in your life. Second, he says, look at the birds of the air. Are you not more valuable than they? And so the birds are an example of God's ability to provide through his providential care and workings in nature. God provides for their needs. That doesn't mean that they don't work for their needs. They're often very busy gathering food and preparing nests and caring for their young. Here in the church, if you ever notice, if you're a guy, you go into the bathroom, there's birds on the window. This is the second set of robins that are nesting right up there. Now there's birds in it today, because they've been sitting on the nest. If you go in there, you can see the little birds. It wasn't too long ago out there, there was another ones up there, and the overhanging by the office, there was another ones out there. So I've been seeing that all along and thinking about, God takes care of these birds. And the birds work, but they don't overstress about it. They spend time with their little ones, they're teaching them, they're going along. And Jesus says, if God can take care of these animals and the birds, can he take care of you? Because aren't you more valuable than those birds? You know, you're created in the image of God. The birds aren't. You were redeemed by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. The birds aren't. So if God takes care of the birds, won't he take care of you? That's what Jesus is asking us. Why are you so stressed out about the fact that you don't have enough clothes in your closet or you don't have enough food coming here? Because won't God provide for you if he cares for the birds? So that's his second point. His third question that he asks is, can worries add a single hour or moment, as it said in that version, to your life? And this argument illustrates how helpless we really are, that there are many things in this life which we can't affect by worrying. For example, worry will not make our bodies grow any taller. Worrying is not going to help my hair not lose my hair any faster. It's not going to keep me from getting older or going through that point of death. It's not going to change it. You can sit and worry about it all you want, go all the doctors you want, you're not going to change some things. You don't even know if you're going to have food tomorrow or not. You could have a tsunami, you can have a tree fall on you like this horrible thing that happened in Grand Haven. You can have anything happen. Why are you worrying about it? Because you really don't have control over it anyway. So you've got to trust God. You've got to trust God he's going to provide for you. You have to trust God that he cares for you, that he's going to meet your needs, because it's not going to add an hour to your day. As a matter of fact, if you worry, it's going to subtract time from your life. I think probably a lot of cancer and other things are caused by our anxiety and worry, because our body's stays in that anxious form so much that it does cause illnesses and it causes our body to break down. The fourth thing that Jesus question that he offers and is the argument says, consider the lilies. Won't God provide for you also? So it's another example of God's ability and willingness to provide. And in this argument, the flowers do nothing. You know, the birds, they're taking care of themselves. They're going out and getting worms. You see them picking and bringing to their nest. Flowers don't do anything. They have nobody, unless they're your flowers that you're taking care of and you're watching. But wildflowers, they just grow by themselves. God takes them and nourishes them and makes them beautiful without even their toil, through his providential care by ordering of life. So if God is able to clothe and grass the field, is he not able and willing, Jesus would say, to do that for you? Because you are created in the image of God and you were designed to spend eternity with him, and you have a special purpose. God's going to help you fulfill your purpose. Just like the flowers had a purpose and he uses them for his glory, he's going to help you fulfill his glory. He's going to provide for you. You don't have to worry. So then Jesus goes on in part C, he says, if you worry, you're just having little faith. You're having a faith problem. So I've been having faith problems lately, right? Because I'm anxious about those little things that, why am I worried about? Why are you concerned about that? You're not really trusting God. And God has showed me, I think, through all those things that, see, I can work them out. Or it really doesn't matter anyway. In the big thing, does it really matter anyway? of all those things that you're stressing out about. So he said, if you worry about food and clothing and those things, you're really having little faith. You have little faith in the promises that God's going to care for you. You have little faith in the power that he has to deliver you. George Mueller said this, and I like this quote. He said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of anxiety. George Mueller was the big guy of prayer. He's the one that had all the orphanages. He provided for all those kids, and there was days he had nothing, no food for them. And he prayed, and you know, in the milk truck, break down out in front of his house, bring him milk. I mean, constantly, God helped him. So talking about how we would all worry and stress out, and he says, you know, when you're getting anxious, you have no faith. You're losing faith. But if you start having faith, then your anxiety will be gone. So Jesus said the same thing, right? If you're anxious, you're worried about so many things, you're not having faith. So you need to have faith. You need to put it into Christ. We need to develop faith in God's providence, both in his ability and his willingness to provide for our needs. Do you know that God can provide, and do you know that he's willing to provide for you? That's faith. But then it's conditional. Jesus goes on and says, now here's the second principle. The first is you need to have faith in God's providential care over you, but here's the second part. You need to make God's will your number one priority. Because if you're seeking after the things of this world and not after his kingdom, then you ought to be stressed out because you're doing the wrong thing and you're stressed out about the wrong things. But you need to make God's will your number one priority. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, part A. And that's the second key to winning over worry. We must make the will of God the number one priority in our life. How do we do that? If you went back and read some of the previous stuff in Matthew 6, you'd find out that you need to serve God instead of the things of this world. Seek after his kingdom. You need to let the lamp of your body and your eyes to focus on what's good, true, and righteous. And you need to lay up treasures in heaven, not treasures here on earth. And you do that by helping other people. If you do those things and you spend your time helping other people and not focusing on just your own kingdom and building your own riches, then God will provide because he's certainly able and he's certainly willing. Billy Graham said this, he said, the anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered on anything short of God and his will for us. If you focus your life on anything other than God's will for you, you're going to be anxious. But if it's all in God's hands and you just want his will, then you're not going to be anxious. So part of our worry and anxiety is the fact that we're seeking after the wrong things, after the wrong kingdom, instead of seeking after God's. And then Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, today has enough trouble with which to concern yourself because we are not capable of handling tomorrow's worries. We have no control over the future, and worrying about the future only distracts us from the duties of the present. Remember about that, worry is distraction. So when you're worrying, you're distracted from the duties of the present. Today's problems are all that we are capable of handling without becoming distracted. So let tomorrow take care of itself. You do that by trusting in God and by doing God's will today. You trust him to take care of the future. You do his will for the moment. That's the way that you should live. And let your undivided attention be given to seeking God's rule in your life. Make his kingdom the number one priority in your life and concern yourself with his righteousness and not your riches. Concern yourself with his righteousness and not your riches, and you won't be anxious. So the motto of many, and you've heard that, people say this, don't worry, be happy. Have you heard that? Don't worry, be happy. Maybe there's some songs that kind of go along with that even. But Jesus qualifies that, and this is what Jesus would say. Don't worry. Seek God's will first, and you will be happy. Don't worry. Seek God's will first, and you will be happy. If we take to heart what Jesus says, then our lives will be like homes that are built on a rock, no matter what storms come or what problems in finishing our basement come. Then if our treasure's in heaven, and it doesn't really matter, we don't have to be stressed out about those because we know that God's going to provide what we need on this journey. But if we don't listen to Jesus' teaching, if we allow ourselves to serve perishable things, then we must go through life without his help, and we have no hope of eternity with God when we die. So we must seek first the kingdom of God. I wanted to wrap up this thought of discarding our worries this morning by reading to you a paragraph that was written by an 85-year-old lady. And when asked if she would change anything in her life, this is what she said. If I had my life to live over, I would dare more mistakes next time. I would relax and ramble around and would be sillier than I have been on this trip. I would take fewer things so seriously, and I would take a lot more chances. I would take more trips and climb more mountains and swim more rivers. I would eat more ice cream and less prunes. That's a lady after my own heart there. She said, I would perhaps have more actual troubles, but I sure would have fewer imaginary ones. She said, you see, I'm one of those people who have lived sensibly and safely hour after hour, day after day. Oh, I've had my moments, and if I had to do it over again, I would have more of them. In fact, I would try to have nothing else, just moments, one after another, instead of living so many years in a big chair, acting like all of those persons who never go anywhere without a thermometer, hot water bottle, raincoat, and a parachute. Said, if I had to do it over again, I would come lighter next time. I would worry less, laugh more, and pick a lot of daisies. See, folks, I think sometimes we take ourselves way too seriously. And probably as pastors, we're the worst sort of that. We need to lighten up, we need to relax and enjoy life, and that's an important step towards peace. Do you know where we get peace from and we end worry? By turning our cares over to God and by learning to walk each day by faith. So I put these questions for you to ask yourself as we apply it. And again, I always say it doesn't do any good to hear the word of God unless you apply it. It's not going to help me to stop worrying unless I apply it and figure out how to worry less or how to stress less and have my life not focused on the things of this world as much as more important things that I'm distracted from. So these are the questions. Am I trusting God to meet all my needs? Are my priorities in line with God's priorities for my life? Am I spending more time pursuing earthly riches than heavenly rewards? Am I taking my worries to the Lord in prayer and leaving them there? And then I wanted an application as we close in prayer today for you to ask yourself that question. What's one worry in my life I need to surrender to Christ? What is it in your life right now that you're concerned about, stressed out about, distracted from? What's distracting you from the more important things in life? What's causing you to worry? And Jesus would say, you need to take it to me and leave it there. So let's just do that as we close in prayer today. Lord, you have told us in your word that we need to trust you and your providential care over us, that you gave us life, you give us breath, you have in control. You have created us for your glory. You care about us, and you're going to take care of us. We need to trust you, not doubt. But Lord, we need to seek your kingdom first, not the things of this world. And Lord, right now we take those things that we're worrying about, that we're distracted from, the things that's distracting us from the more important things in life, you, and our relationship with you, our relationship with others, the joy. Lord, these worries that are weighing us down and keeping us from laughing and keeping us from having fun and actually keeping us in an alarmed state that we're not relaxed and our bodies are exhausted. And so right now, Lord, I take those worries that I might have, whether it's building worries or other concerns or job concerns, and we give them to you. And Lord, we trust you. You said we should relax and enjoy you. And so I pray that you would help all of us today as we go from this place to surrender our worries up to you and not worry about tomorrow because today's got enough worries of its own and trust to you and live moment to moment believing that you're with us and you're watching over us and caring for us. Thank you for doing that. Give us each your sense of peace and joy as we go from here today. In Jesus' name, amen.